When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should. It's Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. You can watch us on the ESPN app. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Tom Brady last night, I don't want to be this guy, and I'm going to be careful in how I say it because there's still ability left there. But there are also real problems there. Canty, he can play another year. Doesn't mean he should. And what I'm watching last night is one of those quarterbacks that we talk about around the league. The guys who were the force multipliers, which Tom Brady spent 99% of his career being, and the guys who need everything to be perfect around them to win. That's what Tom Brady is now. And I'm sorry. I don't want to watch this anymore. I don't, and I know that's a rough thing to say. I don't want to watch this anymore. I can remember at times during the 2015 season, as much as their defense was dominant and won them a Super Bowl, where it was brutally painful to watch Peyton Manning play for the Denver Broncos. They won a Super Bowl in spite of Peyton Manning that year. And I don't even need it to be because of, but I can't see it be in spite of. And when I see the balls go into the dirt as much as I did last night, understanding that there's a real protection problem.
Yeah.
You can't go somewhere, whether it's San Francisco, whether it's Miami, and expect things to be perfect for you all the way around throughout the season.
Well, they don't have to be perfect, Carlin. They just can't be as bad as what we saw in Tampa. They were dead last in every metric when it comes to running the football. That's not a formula for success for a 45-year-old quarterback.
No, but I
think he's led the league in pass attempts the last two seasons,
What did they do last night? I mean, I think they ran it twice and said, we can't run it. Throw it.
I mean, it's absolutely egregious. And I get it. The short passing game and extension of the run game. But you do have to have some level of physicality for your offensive line to be able to dictate the terms to the defensive front. Because if they can't, then all of those D linemen are just going to tee off and pass rush. And, Carla, let me tell you something about defensive linemen. Take it from one that knows it. We rush a hell of a lot better when we actually know it's going to be passed. And that's what you saw on display last night. And that's what you've seen for the better part of this year. So I'm not surprised that Tom Brady has looked like a mere mortal this season. I think a lot of that has to do with coaching, and a lot of that has to do with the personnel, the injuries, the departures along the offensive line taking its toll. But I still think that Tom Brady can play football. He was third in passing yards this season. Over the last 2 years, Carlin, even though he's led the league in pass attempts, you're talking about a guy that's top five in QBR. So it's not like Tom Brady can't play. What you're asking is that you put him in a situation where the supporting cast can accentuate what he does well or carry him to the point where he can be a difference maker. In particular, this aspect of the game, situational football, third downs, 2 minute, red zone. That's the kind of thing that Tom Brady needs to be set up for in order to have success now. He can't be a guy that's asked to get everybody on the team to play above the X's and O's. But when it comes to situational football, because of his experience, Tom Brady can be the difference in your team contending at a championship level versus not.
Here he is last night on his future. Not saying much.
I'm not, this has been a lot of focus on, this game. So, yeah. It's just be one day at a time, truly.
Let me ask you this question.
What's up?
Has he bucked all the trends? Has he basically been the exception to the rule across the board?
Of course.
You don't get better with age. Tom Brady has done that, and he has reached an age where nobody else has played at the level that he has played at. No player, well, I shouldn't say no player, but 99% of players, especially in the NFL, get the chance to end their career the way they want to on their terms.
Mm-hmm.
He had that chance this past offseason. He came back and played. He did all the things that you talked about in terms of his numbers, yet that was an 8-win team, I think in large part because of their offensive line injuries, mm-hmm. but that was an 8-win team.
Sure.
In a bad, historically bad division. You're going to move him to Miami? I get it. Going to move him to San Francisco? I get it. There's two places there where you could justify it. But for me, I just don't want to watch him try to do this anymore when I know what the history is, what he has done for his entire career. He doesn't have anything left to prove. This might be just one of those things where he has no idea what to do with the rest of his life, and he can't let go. It's time to let go, and it's not because he stinks, okay? It's because I don't ever want to see him stink.
Well, here's the thing. We want to see Tom Brady contend at a championship level. Why else put yourself in harm's way at 45 years old? It'll be 46 years old next year if he decides he's going to tee it up for a 24th
season. What's left?
Carlin, you can never replace the opportunity to compete against the best in the world in this sport. You can't.
Okay.
There's no feeling in life that's going to replace coming out of the tunnel on a Sunday, especially in a playoff atmosphere. You can't replace it. You can't replicate it. So I understand not wanting to let go, especially when you're as good as Tom Brady is.
This year, though.
Here's the thing, Carlin. We keep talking about this year and how the Bucs have underachieved as a team and the deficiencies that they had on the offensive side of the ball personnel-wise and at the head coaching spot, if we're being honest. Let me ask you this question. If Tom Brady was the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, would you feel better about their chances of winning a Super Bowl or worse?
Of course I'd feel better.
If Tom Brady was the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins, would they still be playing football? Good chance there would be. Good chance.
Good chance.
They only lost on the road by mm-hmm. 3 to Buffalo with their third-string quarterback. So if Tom Brady's your quarterback, good chance that he finds mm-hmm. himself on the winning side of that game.
Yeah.
So the two destinations that you threw out are likely possibilities because those are both franchises that are in quarterback limbo. So if you're Tom Brady, why should you walk away when you still have an opportunity to compete for a championship if you're in the right situation?
Chris, before the season, even though you had Ali Marpet move on and Alex Kappa signed somewhere else,
yep.
did you feel pretty good if you were Brady about where your offensive line was before the season?
Yeah, because you had Ryan Jensen, you thought they gave him a contract, and you didn't expect that Tristan Wirfs would get hurt the way that he did.
This is my point. No matter where you go, you are counting on everything being perfect and staying perfect to be successful.
Mm.
That is a lot to count on in this sport especially, as we have seen time and again. And frankly, you look at the Buffalo Bills, they have lost guys who have been a big part of their success. And right now, I don't feel great about where they are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're playing particularly good. Now, they've had a lot of things go on. But my point is simply asking things to be perfect in terms of health and situationally in the NFL is asking for the moon and the stars. He never had to ask for it before, because he could make other guys better and not will them, make them better on the field itself.
Well, there are organizations that do a better job of overcoming key injuries. I mean, look at the 49ers, Carlin. They're on their third-string quarterback right now.
All right, but to your point,
they're on their third-string quarterback.
And I'm coming around to the idea.
And they might be the best team in football.
And I'm coming around to the idea that if he has the right situational quarterback, doesn't matter who Kyle Shanahan's guy is. I'm coming around to that idea.
Kyle Shanahan told you it mattered when he forked over 3 first-round picks in order to move up to draft Trey Lance.
Okay.
Now, he told you quarterback mattered when it came to winning at the highest level.
I'm talking about in his system, he may have found this out the hard way, the way things are going. But that all aside, when I look at Brady now, can I look at another situation and say, that is going to stay perfect for me, and I'm going to go and win there, and I'm going to go and compete on that level with the best in the world? Because this year, granted injuries, yes, he was not competing against the very best, and they did not do particularly well. They beat up on teams that were worse than they were.
Yeah.
And that's why they were in the playoffs. That's it.
Yeah, but
I know what the numbers were, Canty. I don't really care.
No, but you still show you still saw flashes of greatness. Granted, they were against bad teams.
But the old great players always show the flash. But the flashes don't add up to be enough anymore.
Well, especially when your team doesn't add up to have enough, Carlin. And we talked about how the Tampa Bay Buccaneers paid everybody after they won the Super Bowl, and they haven't quite been the same team since. It's hard to eat when you're full. That's a team that's fallen off of a cliff. Similar to what we saw with the L.A. Rams, it just happened quicker out in L.A. But I don't look at this season as an indictment on Tom Brady as much as I look at it as an indictment on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers roster and the people that are in the decision-making positions within that organization. Tom Brady can still play football. It just has to be the right situation. And quite frankly, Carlin, he's earned the right after 23 years, after what, 10 Super Bowl appearances and 7 championships? He's earned the right to come back for a 24th season if he so chooses.
Well, one place he's not going to do it is one of the two places that Keyshawn Johnson mentioned this morning on KJM.
There's only two teams that I would vote for him to go to. One, the New York Jets.
Okay.
And I would vote for him to go back to New England for the last hurrah.
Huh.
Not that that would ever happen, but those would be the two teams that I would say, yeah.
No.
Why? not even just no, but why? Like,
I guess the point on the Jets is they have more weapons now offensively, and they have a really good defense.
But they still have questions along the offensive line. The same thing with New England. And on top of the offensive line issues, you got questions about the skill position players in New England.
I don't think the last hurrah means a damn thing to Brady now in New England. He had the last hurrah already. And
the storybook ending is him going to the San Francisco 49ers.
Yes.
His parents live 20 minutes away from the stadium. When they played a few weeks ago, he had over 100 people in the stadium to watch him play, even though that game was an absolute blowout.
They lost 35-7.
Yeah, his family members got home a little bit early, but notwithstanding, like Tom Brady being able to finish his career with the team he rooted for as a child, that is the storybook ending. Now, I don't know that that's going to happen if Brock Purdy goes on a Super Bowl run, but there's the potential for that to happen if the 49ers stumble in the divisional weekend.
Tom, give Burkhardt a call. Tell him you'll be next to him next fall. That's what needs to happen here.
If you're Stephen Ross with the Miami Dolphins, do you entertain it? Because you can't move on.
You already lost a draft pick over it. Why not?
Yeah, why not? Exactly, right? It already cost you.
Already lost a first-round pick. Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio, in for Greeny. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average. There's really only one option for a future Hall of Fame coach. That's next. Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
There's really only one place Sean Payton should be next year. It's Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio, coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. The Denver Broncos have to now, have to get Sean Payton to be their head coach. They would have to ridiculously overpay him because Jim Harbaugh is out of the mix now. He is staying at Michigan.
By the way, did you see how that announcement came down?
It was amazing.
That was great.
It was amazing.
When the president of the university says, yeah, we've got great news. Jim Harbaugh is coming back. And I have informed the athletic director of his decision. Think about that. The head coach of the football team, not just any football team, but the University of Michigan's football team, his announcement came through the president and not the athletic director.
Not even
that
hiding
just
it.
Shows you the state of that relationship.
Not even hiding it. I respect it. I respect it. But Jim Harbaugh's not going there. Do you want, if you're the Broncos, to hire Dan Quinn? No. What is your biggest problem? You have to fix your quarterback, the guy that you're paying $250 million to. So you have to pay Sean Payton. Having said that, if I were Sean Payton, maybe I'll sit this one out. Give me another year in the broadcast booth so that I can find a better situation than the ones that are available to me right now.
Yeah, let's go ahead and smoke Brandon Staley out. It looks like they're going to try to hang on to him in L.A., and they're going to fire everybody else on the offensive side of the ball and scapegoat them. But here's the thing. If you're Sean Payton, you would want the opportunity to coach a talent like Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
You don't want to have to hitch your wagon to Russell Wilson as a part of a rebuild with the Broncos organization. Not just the team, Carlin, the entire organization. I don't know that Sean Payton has the stomach for that. I don't see him going down that road. He's 59 years old. I think he wants to step into a situation where there's a quarterback and a good talent base on the team and elevate them to championship contention. I think that's the situation that he holds out for. And quite frankly, because of his pedigree and because of his resume, he'll have options. He'll have his pick of the litter, even if there isn't the team out there during this hiring cycle.
And people have been operating under the assumption that Sean Payton is definitively taking a job this year. Not so fast. This is Dan Graziano, our ESPN NFL insider, earlier with us on the show.
He's even mentioned that. He did the one interview the other day that's been circulated a lot, and he mentioned that, like, the idea that the compensation for the Saints might not have to be as extensive if he waits a year. So there are factors like that. I know he's talking to the Broncos today. I guess he talked to Houston yesterday. They announced that. So, you know, he knows the landscape. He knows what's out there. He'll hear from the teams in terms of, you know, money and what kind of personnel control and what the quarterback situation is expected to be and all that. And yeah, I don't think he's in a situation, Sean Payton, where he has to just take any old job. I do believe that it's something where he could wait a year if the perfect opportunity is not there for him.
Just so we're clear, Carlin, he's not taking the Houston Texans job.
No,
he's not taking that job. The only reason he would interview with that organization is to leverage other opportunities to try to get more money out of somebody that could be interested in his services. That would be the only reason he would interview for that job.
But let's talk about this, though. If you're the Broncos and you are under new ownership from Walmart and you are paying the money that you are to Russell Wilson, it doesn't matter what Sean Payton wants. He's worth it because he can fix the quarterback. He can do that. Sean Payton and Drew Brees together were a great combination. Now, the reason that Drew Brees didn't win more in New Orleans is because he took every penny. And the talent that they brought into New Orleans was primarily drafted when you think about Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara and guys like that. When you are in a situation that you are with the Broncos and you have just paid Russell Wilson, what's more money on top of that to get it right, especially when the salary cap is going to continue to go up?
Yeah, I mean, you have to give yourself an opportunity, right? You have to try.
In other words, what I meant by the cap numbers, you can put other pieces around him.
Yeah, ain't no salary cap on head coaches either, though. That's
right.
The other thing. So,
exactly.
I mean, you've got the resources to be able to do it. The Walton Pinner Group ain't no shortage of money there. So why not go after the very best coach? The question becomes, does the coach want any parts of that job, specifically the quarterback? Yeah, can you salvage Russell Wilson? I think whether or not Sean Payton takes that job will be a referendum on Russell Wilson and the state of affairs. Now, Carlin, I'm for one think he's washed. We'll end up seeing what happens, but it's been trending this direction for Russ the last couple of years. I don't know that this is the job that Sean Payton wants, because there's no way from out under the quarterback for the next couple of years. And by that point, you know, where are the Denver Broncos in terms of their overall talent level?
Here's what would worry me, though, if I was Payton. If I'm looking to get paid by the Chargers, that's asking a lot. And I don't necessarily think that this was the Chargers don't want to pay Sean Payton $20 million a year. I think he would actually take less to be there.
Well, he has a home there.
Right. And yeah. He wants to be in warm weather, and you're getting a chance to be with Herbert no matter what the ownership situation is there. But if your Chargers ownership, this was an easy decision if you had it locked up. Think about that, right? This was easy as could be. Sean, what do you want? We bring you in. You're the guy. Justin Herbert. Boom, done. Easy. Why didn't they make the easy decision? Because they don't want to pay a coach that level of money. That's why. And let's try to ride it out with Brandon Staley a little bit more after a historic loss with a team that has so much talent that we should have done a lot more with the last 2 years.
Well, the other part of that, Carlin, is organizational philosophy. And some teams allow the head coach to be the czar of the football operations. Other teams, that responsibility is the general manager's. And the Chargers feel like an organization that have turned over all of control to Tom Telesco, their general manager. And I'm not sure that it's a situation where he would be willing to cede that control to Sean Payton, because that's what it would take. Sean Payton wants control over the roster. He wants control over everything.
Here's my question.
Because he's a Bill Parcells disciple, sure. And that's how Bill did it everywhere he went.
Why would you not want to give Sean Payton that kind of control over Tom Telesco? Why? It makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense. The only pushback I would say is Telesco was the one that drafted Justin Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one that put all of these pieces in place, the Derwin James of it all, Joey Bosa, all of these players that are foundational pieces.
That's great.
He drafted well.
What have they won? That's great.
Great point.
Great players.
Great point.
What have they won?
Great point.
Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. I thought about Canty last night a lot, because there was one particular development that just had one of his signature lines running through my head all evening long. We'll tell you about that in just moments. First up, though, the NFL playoffs. To say that they're heating up would be a bit of an understatement. And the easiest way to get into all the action is with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. New customers join today to get started with $150 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up with promo code PLAY. FanDuel has all your favorite bets, from the money line to point spreads to player props, so don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in bonus bets. Win or lose, promo code PLAY. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
21 plus in select states. First online real money wager only. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Virginia, and West Virginia. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text next step to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-9WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming and Kansas, or visit ksgambling.com Help.com in Kansas. 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Tennessee Redline. 1-800-889-9789 in Tennessee.
Greeny, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
That was rough.
Mm-hmm.
And all I could think of as that's happening, Canty.
Kickers are barely even people.
That's you.
Yeah.
That's
I keep saying it. Kickers aren't football players. They're barely even people. You had one job last night, Brett Maher.
Well, actually,
one job
four different times.
Exactly. Just make the extra point.
Yeah.
This is while we're doing 9-on-7 inside run drill, 7-on-7 drills, 1-on-1 pass rush, all these different aspects of actual football. You know what the kickers are doing, the specialists? They're on the other practice field kicking. That's all they're doing. Mm-hmm. That's all they're doing. That's their only responsibility. Here's the thing, Carlin, on kickoffs and on punts, they're not even asked to tackle anybody. All you're asked to do is kick the ball, period. Kick it, punt it. That's all you got to do. Do it at a high level. Don't cost your team an opportunity to win a game. Now, if you had legitimate competition last night in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, those missed extra points, count them, four of them, could have been costly. They weren't, but, I mean, it's still one of those things that gets a little dicey when you talk about playoff football, so much so that you saw Dak Prescott on the sidelines screaming expletives and saying, just go for two. Just go. Like, he was just saying, just go for two. Like, he's not making the extra points. It's going to cost you if your kicker can't be reliable when you're going up against a better team in, I don't know, like the San Francisco 49ers.
All right, but let me ask you this. Is Brett Maher losing his job this week?
No.
Probably not.
No.
But, Canty, you talk about going into a situation next week in a big spot, having to kick early in that game or even late in that game, and you need him to deliver one from just 35 yards, I mean, he is going to be all up in his feelings. That's going to be a problem.
That's going to be a problem, but rest assured, Cowboys fans, it's probably not going to be that close. You know why?
They're going to
get torched. Because the 49ers don't play close games, Carlin. The 49ers have a 14-4 record if you include the win on Wild Card Weekend. You know how many one-score games they played this year? Four. You know how many they've lost? One, and that was week three when Jimmy Garoppolo decided to step out of the back of the end zone against the Denver Broncos and Trent Williams got hurt. That's it. They don't play close games at all. They have a plus 173-point differential on the season, Carlin. That's tops in the NFL. They do not play close games. They blow everybody out. So for Cowboys fans, that's good news because it's probably not going to come down to your kicker.
Imagine, though, if Maher misses his very first extra point. What are they going to do then?
You gotta go for two the rest of the time, right? What about field goals?
When you cross midfield, Bubba, it's four down territory. That's it.
Fourth and four at the 32.
You know what's crazy is they put him out for a fifth one and he made it. I can't believe they even put him out there for a fourth one and then they put him out there another time.
I think they just wanted him to get some sort of confidence.
That's absolutely
I actually would have more confidence in kicking field goals than the extra point. I think the extra point is in his head more than the field goals.
So you feel better about him
if he just would nail like a 55-yard field goal. I think at this point it's the extra point that's in his head.
I don't know how you can feel good about him kicking the football, whether it's an extra point or a field goal after last night.
Or kickoffs.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
He had some quality kickoffs.
There's no confidence in the Cowboys kicking game right now.
No.
Zero.
Listen, I get it where Bubba's coming from. Just a little chip shot. That is the catch. That is Chuck Knoblauch
at second base.
Oh, can't throw all the first. Knobloch was trending on Twitter last night.
Rick Ankiel, Steve Sachs.
All those names were trending last night. It was
the Yips. You know what, Carlin? I'm watching that game with my mom and Mel, my wife, and they both felt awful for Brett Maher. They felt terrible for
you. You had no sympathy for the situation at all.
I don't even know where to start because I guess I've seen behind the curtain. All of these dudes do. That's all they do is kick. Carlin, at training camp with 2-a-days, guess what? They ain't beating themselves up by hitting each other. They're kicking extra points. They're kicking field goals. They're punting the ball. That's all they're doing. You know it's not strenuous for kickers and punters during training camp when in between practices they're going to play 9 holes of golf.
Yep.
You know, that's why I can't empathize with what Brett Maher was going through last night. I just can't. Kickers are barely even people.
Listen.
They're not football players.
Can we agree on that?
They're not football players. Just say it, Carlin. Say it with me.
They're not football players. I think there are some kickers.
Justin Tucker is a football player. Come on. Player.
Justin Tucker is an opera singer, okay? I love my former team. I mean, they're not football players.
I'll agree they're not football players. I think we can agree they are people, though.
What about
I said barely people. They're barely people.
Come on, Bubba. Semantics.
What about punters? Are they football players?
No.
Some of them are.
No. Show me the punter that's a football player.
Pat McAfee, he's a football player, right? And he did both, actually. He's a football player. There are some. No, they're not.
I remember they're not football players.
I remember covering the Giants and Jeff Fiegels when he was punting for the Giants during training camp. You guys are all exhausted and basically trying to get as much sleep as you can. He is out there after curfew on the practice fields hitting a golf ball, drinking a six-pack.
Let me ask you a question, Carlin. Can you block, tackle, catch, or throw at a really high level?
Well, I will say every time you see a kicker try to throw the ball, that's a problem.
But that's my point, though. Yeah. That's why they're not football. I get it's called football, but it's really about the other skill sets other than putting your foot to the pigskin.
What's the maddest you've ever been at one kicker?
Mike Vanderjack in Dallas. Not even close.
Not even close.
Bubba can co-sign on that one.
It all goes back to Vanderjack.
Peyton on the Manning cast last night having flashbacks.
Yeah, Manning goes back to Vanderjack. Canty goes, it's always Vanderjack.
Peyton was fed up thinking about his idiot kicker again.
Yeah, that was PTSD for Peyton last night. Oh, my God. Yeah, Vanderjack. Let me ask another question. Have you ever seen a kicker nearly get beat up?
Yes, I actually did see a kicker get beat up. Jose Cortez, this was in 2005, at San Francisco, missed an extra point. Larry Allen picked him up by his face mask in the air and shook him. A grown man shook him in the air after he missed the extra point.
Man.
Think about that. Larry Allen.
Can you imagine the scariest
offensive lineman in football.
Can you imagine being Cortez and you're going off the field and the first person you see is Larry Allen?
No, he wasn't off the field. Because Larry Allen is a part of the extra point protection. So Larry Allen I'm watching this as a defensive player on the field. This is my rookie year. Grabs Cortez by his face mask and lifts the man up off the air. You see his little feet dangling. That's all you see. I was like, is that how they do it in the NFL? This can't be life.
You see his little feet dangling like he's a puppet, like Kermit the Frog.
But Carlin, that's when I realized kickers aren't football players because Larry Allen wouldn't do that to any of his other teammates, but he would do that to the specialist.
Kickers are barely even people.
Exactly.
Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. Your company has goals this year. Find the right people to help you achieve them with ZipRecruiter, where 4 out of 5 employers get a quality candidate within the first day. Try it free at ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. That's ZipRecruiter.com/GREENY. There is a disparity between the 49ers and the Cowboys in terms of preparation this week. The Cowboys on the road playing the game on Monday night. The 49ers were at home playing the game on Saturday. So the Cowboys only get 5 days of rest plus travel, whereas the 49ers get basically a full 7 days off in between. Teams that have been in that situation before that the Cowboys are in with 2 less days of rest and going on the road are 9-24 in those games that particular week. What is the biggest pitfall here for the Cowboys, and is there one for San Francisco when you have all that extra time?
Well, the biggest issue for the Cowboys is fatigue, right? Because playoff intensity, physicality, it's on another level than what we see in the regular season.
Gotta get your bodies
right. And early in that game, Carlin, that was a physical ball game.
Yep.
That was, I mean, you could hear the hitting. I mean, it was one pop that Donovan Wilson put on Chris Godwin in the red zone. I didn't know how Chris Godwin got up from that one.
At the end of the night, Chris Godwin, they showed him on the sideline. He looked like he was just about done.
I mean, that was as physical as I've seen that Dallas Cowboys team. But there was some hitting going on. So that would be the biggest concern, especially going up against an outfit like the 49ers, who might be the most physical team in the entire NFL. But, Carlin, the rest disparity cuts both ways. Because if you're the Dallas Cowboys, your quarterback just played his best game of the season. You might have had your most complete performance as a team on the season. You can't wait to get back out there and do it again. So the fact that you have a couple of less days between when you play as opposed to what the 49ers have to go through, that might be a benefit to you in terms of being able to keep your edge, having that preparedness, and being ready to go. It's almost like a golfer being in a groove. You just want to keep playing golf. Now, with the 49ers situation, you wonder, with that extra couple of days, could they potentially get a little rust? Could they potentially get a little stale in terms of, you know, the whole playoff intensity, the whole urgency, how you have to approach the preparation of it all? That's the one thing that you worry about. So, I mean, it all comes down to how your head coach handles it and, quite frankly, how your head coach frames it to your locker room. But it'll be really interesting to see the role that the two extra days for the 49ers plays in this matchup.
Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio. Jerry Jones, after the game last night, making an interesting comparison for his football team.
It's like a hunting dog. We have tasted what you need to realize is there, and it will cause you to grow. I saw that happen to our championship teams. And I saw us take guys that certainly had the goods, but they not necessarily had the experience or the having had it happen to them. They hadn't. But our teams of the 90s did come on and get better and better and grow.
Jerry truly is the epitome of the Cowboy fan base, because I've never seen a fan base so willing to put the cart in front of the horse.
Yeah.
Now we're going to compare this team to the 90s Cowboys teams.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to do that? And why is Jerry doing that?
Listen, I get that
because
Troy.
Because Jimmy Johnson is gone.
Yeah, I get that Troy and Michael Irvin were down there in Tampa, but it ain't Troy and Michael Irvin in those Cowboys uniforms.
And Troy and Michael Irvin would be the first to tell you. They ain't us.
They're not us. And let me tell you, Mike McCarthy, he ain't Jimmy Johnson.
No, he is not.
He's not. So, I mean, listen, Jerry has to have that level of optimism, right? Because there's nothing more that he wants than a championship and to prove that he could do it without the core of players that Jimmy Johnson built. Like, Carlin, let's just call it what it is. Jimmy Johnson is in the Hall of Fame and he's not in the Cowboys Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
That just lets you know where Jerry Jones is at with
a few years ago when he got in exactly to the Hall of Fame and said, you're going to be in the Ring of Honor. Where are you?
Yeah, exactly.
How has it not happened?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry. Was it just a nice little thing to throw out
one of those things I had to say when I was in Canton and we both got on gold jackets. But here's the thing, man. Like, he wants to be able to win. And you could see how he was celebrating each touchdown score in the box with his family, with Steven Jones and Charlotte Jones Anderson. Like, they were all excited about the Cowboys winning the wild card game in a game, quite frankly, that they were supposed to win, because you're going up against an inferior team. But they were excited. And so I think Jerry gets a little caught up in the moment when he starts talking about what that game means for the Cowboys prospects moving forward. But Carlin, we can both agree, this is a completely different animal that they're about to go up against in the San Francisco 49ers.
Well, what bothers me about the whole situation is that Jerry has made it abundantly clear that winning is not most important. Winning his way is most important, and winning to show that he was the biggest reason why the Cowboys were put together and won a championship. It's been what has driven him for the last 20 plus years. And with this matchup this week, if they go and win, I honestly believe they could win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If you go win in San Francisco, that could be absolutely a possibility.
The irony is not lost on me though, Carlin. Think about that. The Cowboys have not won a road playoff game in 30 years until last night.
And who was the coach?
The coach was Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah.
But also, now you're going up against the San Francisco 49ers, and that was the team that they beat on January 17th, 1993.
But my point about this for Jerry is simply he has never been willing to let go of that for the sake of the betterment of the team just winning, period. And I have a feeling with, let's call it what it is, time running out, that he may go to the great beyond without a championship his way. It should be more important to go with a championship than as opposed to one your way.
Well, the great owners allow football people to make football decisions. Jerry's most consequential football decision, firing Tom Landry and hiring Jimmy Johnson.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.